And so if you got a Bible, open it up to Mark. Mark chapter 9, and he's going to be starting at verse 14. Mark 9, starting at verse 14, so go ahead and turn there. Can we get Darlene a bigger Bible? She's... Well, hey, Darlene, he's going to read it out loud here, so it'll be okay. Whenever you're ready, Noah.
Okay. When they came to the other disciples, they saw a large crowd around them, and the teachers of the law arguing with them. As soon as all the people saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with wonder and ran to greet him. "What are you arguing with them about?" he asked. A man in the crowd answered, "Teacher, I brought you my son, who is possessed by a spirit that has robbed him of speech. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him to the ground. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not." "You unbelieving generation," Jesus replied, "how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me." So they brought him. When the spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into a convulsion. He fell to the ground and rolled around, foaming at the mouth. Jesus asked the boy's father, "How long has he been like this?" "From childhood," he answered. "It has often thrown him into fire or water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us." "If you can," Jesus said, "Jesus, everything is possible for one who believes." Immediately the boy's father exclaimed, "I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief." When Jesus saw that a crowd was running to the scene, he rebuked the impure spirit. "You deaf and mute spirit," he said, "I command you to come out of him and never enter him again." The spirit shrieked, convulsed violently, and came out. The boy looked so much like a corpse that many said he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him to his feet, and he stood up. After Jesus had gone indoors, his disciples asked him privately, "Why couldn't we drive it out?" He replied, "This kind can only come out by prayer."
All right. So as we continued on here in our study of Mark, as we've been looking at the life of Jesus and the teachings of Jesus and what Jesus is all about, today's setting brings us to this man who is in a very desperate situation, right? He's in a tough spot. His son is suffering this horrible affliction, this demon possession, right? That he convulses and goes stiff as a board and he thrashes around, and the father doesn't know what to do. He's desperate. No one knows how to handle him. Nobody has any answers. There's nobody to take him to. He's in this impossible situation. It's so bad that feels that this demon inside of him tries to throw him into fires and into water and to drown him. I mean, can you imagine if you're a parent and you're seeing your child go through this and the helplessness that must come with that? And so here we have this guy in this desperate situation, and that nobody can help him. There's no answer. There's no solution. There's no steps that he can go through to solve it. He is completely helpless. This problem is bigger than him. And then he brings this problem to Jesus. And he comes to Jesus and says, "My boy, can you do anything?" He says, "If you're able, please take pity on us and heal him." And Jesus' response today is where I want to spend our time. Jesus responds to him that says, "If I can, everything is possible for him who believes." Amen, right? I heard it. You guys, you can't help but say amen. When someone says everything is possible for him who believes, you can't help but say amen. We love this verse, right? We know this verse. This is in, Bible's greatest hits, this would be in it, right? You know, this is one of those verses that most every Christian knows it. They don't know where it is. They don't know who spoke it. They don't know what the context is. But they know everything is possible for him who believes, right? It's one of those verses that we celebrate, that we enjoy, that has all the good things that we like about Christianity are wrapped up kind of in this verse, right? Because it speaks to success and victory and hope and deliverance and blessing, and anything is possible. Everything is possible for him who believes. It's so popular, right, that we'll put it out, we'll put it on plaques, and put it on our wall. We'll put it on some scenic picture and put this at the bottom of it. We'll put it on a coffee mug to be a reminder in the morning. We use it as a motivation that everything is possible for him who believes. It's a reason we say to people if they're having a hard time, hey, you just got to believe, right? You just got to believe. The reason we say those things, this is a verse that we all are familiar with, and we know it, we throw it around, we use it. But I think in the midst of this familiarity, that we don't necessarily know completely what it means. Because when we start thinking about it, let's follow this through. let's think about this, the logic train. Does this mean that, wait, everything is possible for him who believes? Anything? Does that mean I could really, like, believe something into being? Like, if I believe something enough, if I just focus on it and believe on something enough, if I have enough faith, does that mean I can face something into existence? And if that's the case, if I can face something into existence, then how much faith does it take to do this? How much faith are we talking about? Is this like, if there was a gauge, faith gauge, how high does the faith gauge have to go for this to really work? What is this talking about, you know? Does it have to max out, you know? And then are we just talking about a peak moment? How long do I have to maintain that faith? Could it just be at this high point, this moment that I'm feeling really spiritual, I have this high point, and I have all this faith, and then the results will come about? Or do I have to maintain it for a long period of time? How does that work, right? Or maybe it depends on what you're trying to believe in. You know, if it's a big thing, like if you want to believe in that cancer is cured, then you got to believe for a long time. You got to keep the faith level up really high for a long time. Or if you're believing for a parking spot, you know, maybe it could be real brief, right? You can just have a high point and move on, you know, so. And then what about if you got one person believing for one thing and another person believing for the exact opposite thing? How does that work, right? How would that work? Let's say there's a bride who is believing that it will not rain on her wedding day, on her outdoor wedding. It will not rain for her wedding, right? It will not rain for her wedding. She's believing it. She has faith about that this is going to happen. At the same time, you got the farmer in the same neighborhood, same community, that's believing that it will rain on Saturday. They're believing that it will rain that day because they need rain for the crops. Well, they're both believing for the thing. Well, which is it then? Which one does God listen to? I mean, how does this really work? I want to understand how this works. If we believe all this, does it set up a faith battle? You know, who's got the more faith that they win out, or maybe you know, how does this work? You know, and so there's all these questions about like what does this really mean? So we're going to take a closer look at this statement that Jesus makes. Everything is possible for him who believes, because we're going to see it's a wonderful, wonderful statement, and it's very important to the Christian life and all our lives, because when we understand it completely, it's just a great thing. But I also want to call out the ways that we maybe misunderstand it. So I want to start off first with a common misinterpretation of this verse. A common misinterpretation of what it means. Excuse me. So first, if you got fill in the blanks, this is the first one. We're talking about everything is possible for him who believes. A wrong interpretation is this. It is not saying this. Faith gives you the power to do anything you want. Faith gives you the power to do anything you want. All right? It is not saying this. It's not calling this. Lots of times we like to look at this verse and we think that if I can believe something enough, it'll make it happen. Whatever I want to see happen, everything is possible for him who believes. So I can think of anything I want, and it treats faith like this power. Like faith is a force that we can tap into. It's almost like a wizard who has a spell. He can bring these things about. That we look at this verse, and some people look at this verse and think, if I could just believe something enough, then that'll make it happen, no matter what it is. You know, if I believe it enough, whether God wants it or not, I can make God do what I want. If I could just believe this thing enough, then it'll bring it into being, right? That faith is this force that I utilize as my tool to get what I need and get what I want and all these things by believing on something and focusing on something. I want that Mercedes-Benz. I want that Mercedes-Benz. I want that Mercedes-Benz. I believe it. I claim it. I'm going to get it, right? Whatever the situation, I'm going to get that job. I'm going to get that job. I'm going to get that job. I'm believing I'm going to get that job, right? That person's going to ask me out. That person's going to ask me out. That person's going to ask me out. Whatever the situation, I don't know. But we think if I can believe it enough, it's going to make it happen. Whatever I want to see happen. But that's a misinterpretation to this. This verse is not, we're going to look at it more closely. This verse is not raising up the value it's not talking about your limitless, it's not talking about your limitless power, okay? The limitless power that you have through faith. It's not talking about faith's limitless power, right? It's talking about God's limitless power. It's talking about God's limitless power. And lots of times we look at this and think, oh, look what all I can do. I can do anything if I believe. Look, I am a powerful being. I can do all this. No, no, no. This is never meant to raise up your power. It's not even meant to raise up this power. We think of faith as like this mystical power sometimes that we can tap into and change the world by our faith, that our faith is going to cause something to happen. No, it's not even talking about faith's power. It's raising up the value of God's power. So, we got that? This is where it gets good, though. Check this out. So the right interpretation is not faith gives you the power to do anything you want. Instead, faith acknowledges God's power to do anything he wants. Faith acknowledges God's power to do anything he wants. When that guy came to Jesus in this horrible situation, it was out of control, he didn't know what to do, and he says to Jesus, if you can do something, if you can help, please do it. If you're able to, please cure my boy. And Jesus responds to that, if anything is possible for him who believes, I can do anything. He's not talking about the dad's power to see his son healed. He's not talking about the power of belief. He's talking about, you better believe it. He says, God, I can do anything. There's no limits to my power. Whatever you got, I can handle it. Whatever situation you're in, I can handle it. There's no limits to what God can do. Whatever your situation, he can handle it. This guy was in an impossible situation. He was in an impossible situation. There was no answer. There was no solution. There was nothing he could do. Nobody had an answer for him. And yet Jesus says, I can handle that. Really? Demon possession? Bring him over here. And he took care of it. Because everything is possible for him who believes. I don't know what your impossible situation is today. Maybe you're in an impossible situation. Maybe there's this thing in your life that there's no answer for, that you need God. Maybe you need God to show up in a way in something in your life. Maybe you got cancer in your body. And the doctors, they can kind of treat it, but there's no solutions, no answer. Maybe it's one of those type of cancers. Maybe it's some other sickness, some other illness. Maybe you have a teenage kid out there running wild, and they're out of control. And it's out of your control. There's nothing you can do. It's an impossible situation. You don't know how to handle it. It feels too big. Maybe you need work. Maybe you need income, and it's just the bills don't add up, and you've cut. Not that you're being wasteful, there's just not enough. And you need a solution. You need an answer. You need something to come through. Maybe you've been feeling alone. And you've been waiting for that person to come into your life, and they haven't, and you just don't know, and it feels like there's a possible situation. It feels too big, and it feels hopeless. You feel helpless because it feels hopeless. Well, today's verse is great news for you, because everything is possible for him who believes. In our faith, we can have faith and confidence. We can have a full belief in acknowledging God's power to do anything he wants. That we can go to God in full faith with our impossible situation, because we can know in all its surety, all confidence, that he can handle it. It's not too big for him, right? It's not too big. He's shown all through, we've been going through Mark, feels like every week he's healing somebody or casting out some demon or doing some miracle. He's not just doing that for doing its sake. He's doing it more than just for that person's sake. He's doing it to show how big he is. He can handle it. If you've been here for a while and you've been listening to these sermons and you think, oh, God can't handle my problem, well, that's your problem, right? He can handle your problem. Whatever it is, whatever you're going through, he can handle it. He's proven. He's handled everything. He's handled all the physical stuff, right? He was curing, curing diseases, leprosy and blindness and demon possession, spiritual issues. He was dealing with nature. He's calming storms. He's providing food, handling provision sort of issues. All these sort of issues he handles. He raises someone from the dead, does all this, and ultimately he defeats death, right? So he can handle your problem, whatever it is. I know it's big. You may have a big problem, but he can handle it. We can take faith. We can have faith in knowing that he can handle it, that we can go to him with anything. And that's a great encouragement to know that. Now, with that, I got to warn you something, okay? Got to warn you. Beware. Next fill in the blank. Beware, though. Just because God can do everything doesn't necessarily mean he will do everything, right? Because we start reading that God can do anything, then we got and we need to believe in that fully. But sometimes there'll be times when the thing that we feel like we need isn't necessarily the thing that God in his perfect wisdom knows that we need, right? And sometimes his plan doesn't jive with our plan. And we forget that sometimes, and we get all out of sorts when we don't feel like God's doing what he's ought to do, right? I believed on this thing, and it didn't. I believed and believed, and it didn't happen. And we get upset with God and start to think, well, all of a sudden God doesn't love me, he doesn't care, you know, that he's not even there, maybe he's not listening, he's not a good God. We start judging him based on all these things. But we got to see, we got to allow God the freedom to answer as he sees fit. Because we're going to have full faith that he knows what's best for us. Or if we're going to have full faith that he can handle all things, we also got to have full faith that he knows all things, right? That he knows what's best. He may say yes. He may say yes, but he might say no. He may say not yet, which sounds like no, right? But we can't get all out of sorts when that happens. We got to let him have that freedom. He's God. Are we okay with letting him have a little freedom? He can do all things, but he may not sometimes, right? He may not do that thing. And our perspective is so limited because we're just stuck in this and now that we don't want to jump to these conclusions on God based on our limited perspective. Let me illustrate it this way. I'm sure there's been times in my son Luke's life that if you went and asked him, does your daddy love you? He would say no. He just took me to a doctor and held me down where they stuck needles in me. My daddy doesn't love me. Right? In the midst of that, in that limited perspective, man, that was horrible. What? My dad doesn't love me. But as we pull back and have a greater perspective, we can look back and see sometimes in our own lives, right? That we can look back and see that thing that I hated, that I asked for deliverance from, that path I didn't want to go down, that thing I didn't want to go through, turned out to be something that God really used in my life. And I can't imagine life without it. With perspective. So let's give ourselves some time for perspective, right? That we don't jump to these conclusions. Well, God don't love me, and he's not listening, and he's not a good God, and he can't do anything anyways, and all this stuff, right? We got to trust that God knows what's best. The Bible says that the foolishness of God is wiser than the wisdom of men. So even the stuff that he doesn't do well, I mean, this is all human terms, right? Still way better than well anything we got, right? That our the wisest thing we got, his foolishness is even better than that. So he knows more than we know. Okay, so faith acknowledges God's power to do anything he wants. Yes. But beware, just because God can do everything doesn't mean he necessarily will do everything. Let me add to that now. Beware, but don't be wary. Okay? Beware, but don't be wary. Don't let your fear that God might not turn into a reason he will not. You guys follow me here? Don't let your fear that God might not turn into a reason he will not. And I think this is our biggest culprit in the church today, in our society, in our culture, and all this. The fear that God might not turn to the reason he will not. We start get we go out of our way to not ask God to do something in fear that he might not do it, I think. We'll say, we want to go out of our way not to to step on God's toes. He may not do that. I don't want to pray for healing. Because God doesn't really do that. He may not want to heal. So I'm just going to kind of pray this nebulous little prayer. I'm not going to pray for healing. I'm not going to pray in faith because he's not going to do it. And I don't want to look dumb. I'm not going to step out in faith. I'm not going to trust him for this thing. Because if I do and he doesn't, it's such a letdown. Right? He's not going to do that thing. So therefore, I'm not going to pray it in prayer. I'm not going to pray in faith. I'm not going to trust him fully. I'm going to leave the doubt. I'm going to go with the doubts rather than the belief. And we let the chance that God might not be the reason that he does not. That prevents us from praying. The chance that he might not come through, or he might choose not to do that thing. We say, because of that, well, I'm not going to pray. I'm not going to pray. The Bible says you don't have because you don't ask. And I think the reason we don't ask is we think there's a chance he might not. Well, I got a promise for you. Here's something you can take to the bank. If you pray for something in faith, in full belief and full trust that God can, and you pray that God can and you will and full and he will in full faith, there's a chance he might not. But if you don't pray in full faith, I guarantee you he will not. Okay? If you don't step out, we let that get in the way of our beliefs. I think in American culture today, we see, man, I wish Jose was here today. Jose and I were talking about this to Noah a while back. Isn't it crazy how in other countries we see all these miracles, like crazy miracles, right there on the street, just healings and people being blind and eyes open and all this stuff, like straight out of the Bible stuff. We don't see that in America. We don't see that in Long Beach. Why is that? I mean, why? Is it a different God working down there? No. Does he speak Spanish all this time? He didn't understand us? No. I think the difference is we don't really believe he will do it. We're already making excuses. Nah, he's not going to do that thing. And so we don't really get out in front of it and trust him for it. I think our job is just to get out there and trust him, right? To get out and trust him. Like, yes, there's a chance he may not come through. He may say no. But let's let him do the say no. Let's not us do the say no part. Let's let him say no. And with that, we got to give him some time on these things. Lots of us, we pray like this. I got this growth. There's a bump. There's a growth. Lord God, please heal this growth. I come to you in full faith. Heal this growth. You know, step in and do it. I know you can and you will. Please take this growth from me. Amen. Uh-oh, that didn't work. Still there. Forget that. I'm in trouble now. Right? We don't give God any time to work sometimes. We got an issue on Monday. We're praying on Tuesday. And we better darn well have an answer by Wednesday. Or else we got all these things to say about God. He don't care. He don't listen to me. He don't love me. Right? I heard it described this way. While we're looking at a watch, God's looking at a calendar usually. Right? Now, while we're looking at a watch, God's usually looking at a calendar. His timing is a little different sometimes. We have to let him do that. Think about it. What if Abraham got tired of waiting on God? We look at Abraham. That's someone that God used and worked in. You know, he called him, you leave this land and go to the land I'm going to show you, make you descendants and all this stuff. Well, do you know between the time that Abraham left and followed that time, that promise of God, to when he actually saw Isaac born, 25 years? What if during that 25 years he said, forget this, this ain't happening. He didn't wait on God, never gave him a chance. I quit all this. What about Joseph? We see God's hands all through Joseph's life, God working all through Joseph's life, all through getting beat up and sold into slavery and working his way up there and getting put in jail and all these bad things, right, happening with Joseph. But we see God's hand all through it. We say, wow, that is someone that saw the hand of God in their life. Well, there was years in between some of that stuff. If you really read it with the dates and all that, there's years in between. But you remain faithful and continue trusting God. Didn't give up on it. Look at David. David, as a young child, right? He did the whole Goliath thing, and he was anointed as a small child. He was anointed to be the new king of Israel, right? Big deal. Think, boy, this guy's got it made. But think of all those times he spent hiding out in a cave while Saul's trying to kill him. If it were any one of us, we would have been like, forget this. I thought God had plans for me. What am I doing in a cave? We got to give God a chance to work. I implore you, don't give up. Give him some time. There may be things in your life that you've been praying for. You got a big thing in your life that you need God to come through on. You got a hurt. You got a problem. You got an issue. Maybe it's an addiction you've been battling. You've been asking and praying for deliverance. You just haven't got it. Maybe there's someone in your family that is just a problem and causing all these issues, and you're just praying for God to do something and never done it. Maybe it's a spouse that's going to leave you, and you're just like, I don't know. There's all these issues. You've been praying for this thing to change. Whatever that is, that thing to change. And you've been praying so long, you haven't seen change. You think, oh, God's not going to do anything. He might not do it. I'm done praying on that. Don't lose faith. God can do all things. Everything is possible for him who believes, right? Faith acknowledges God's power to do anything he wants. Yes, there's a chance he might not do it. But don't let that chance he might not do it be the reason you don't go to him in full faith. Right? Here's how I see it. Our job is to go to him in full faith, to trust him completely, to go, not hold back, not these prayers where we kind of tiptoe in a little bit and then tiptoe out and in the faith thing, but we just bust through the faith doors and say, God, here I am. I'm in need. I need you to come through. And then if he says no, that's okay. We have to be okay with that, right? We can be okay with that, right? He's a good God. But let's let him say no. Let's not come in with I know you probably don't want to do this, and so just help me through this situation. And no, pray. Really pray. Let's ask in faith. The last one is this. It's hard to do this. It is sometimes. Because these doubts and concerns come in. But I got news for you. Help is available. Help is available. You can ask God to help your lack of faith. You can ask God to help your lack of faith. When this guy came, in Mark that we read, right? In the story where this guy came to Jesus and says, if you can do anything, please do. And Jesus says, if everything is possible for him who believes. I love the guy's response. I believe. Help my unbelief. Right? I mean, how absurd is that? I believe. Help my unbelief. Seems like if you believe, either you believe or you don't. If you believe, then there's belief is the absence of unbelief, right? Or unbelief is the absence of belief. How can you have belief and unbelief? But yet Jesus was totally fine with that response. He didn't go, get out of here, help unbelief. Come back when you believe, when you fully believe. No, he was fine with that answer. He was fine with that response, right? He's fine with that. And the great news here is, and the reason he's fine with that, because our God is in the faith-building business. That's what he's all about, is building faith. He wants it. If you go to him and say, God, help my unbelief. Help me to have full faith. Help my faith. Help me to believe. He's not going to say, oh, come on. That's such juvenile stuff. You figure that part out, and then you bring that to me, and then we get together. No, he does not like that at all. He wants to help us in our faith. You could even say all this is really all about him building our faith, making himself known to us, right? Here we are in our sin doing the things that he doesn't want us to do, yet he loved us so much that he sent Jesus to us to come with us, not to be up on a cloud away from us, to be among us, right? To teach us, to show us, to love us, to teach us about God, to reveal his character and his heart and his mercy and his grace and his love for each one of us, to increase our faith in him. Not only that, but he gives us his word, right? His Bible teaches about him so we can know him better and what he's about. Increases our faith in him through the examples of what he's done throughout history. And not only that, he's also blessed us with his Holy Spirit. He put his Spirit inside of each one of us. Now, and from the inside out, he teaches us about himself, reveals himself to us, teaches us about himself to grow our faith in him. So this is a great, great thing, right? Everything is possible for him who believes. I love that verse. It's a wonderful verse. In conclusion, I love that verse because it shows me that no problem is too big for God. No matter what I face, no matter what I'm going through, he can do it. He can do anything. There's no limits to what he can do. I just need to put my faith in him and believe that he can do it. And believe that he can do it. And yes, there's a chance he might not. But if that's the case, that's okay. I'm still going to trust him that his plan is best. Even though I may not like it, I may not choose that, trusting that his plan is best. I can still go to him in full faith. I don't need to hold back. I can trust him no matter what. And as hard as all that is, we can ask God for faith. And he's a faith giver. So we can go to him. If you need help in this, go to God and ask him. Just tell him that. I believe. Help my unbelief. He likes that sort of stuff. Heartfelt, though. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you so much that we are not on our own through life to figure this stuff out. That we don't have to be problem solvers. We don't have to depend on ourselves and our own strengths and our own abilities and things like that all the time. God, I thank you that you make yourself available to us and that you can handle anything. God, I thank you that any problem that comes, any issue I have, anything that stress or worry I'm carrying, that I can give it to you in full faith, that you can handle it. God, I pray that for each one of us, that you would give us that faith. You'd be showing us that we can trust in you. And God, for those times that you may say no, that what we want doesn't line up with what you want, God, I pray that you would help us to be able to accept that and to look at that through the lens that of a loving father who's caring for a child and that you know what's best. And God, I pray for those times that you don't do that, those worries that you may not answer, wouldn't it stop us from coming to you, God? I pray that we would come to you anyways, that we would come to you in full faith, even though there's a chance you might have a different plan, but help us still to come to you in full faith. So God, I pray for each one here today that you would grow our faith. God, you would make this a congregation of faith, a congregation that is known and characterized by that in our community, that you would use this to make a difference as we step out in faith for you, as we trust you fully in every area of our life and learn what a good God you are and how much we can trust in you. We love you and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, that concludes our service. Thanks so much for coming today. If anyone has offering to give, offering is an important part of worship. I mean, giving to God is trusting him, right? Trusting with something that we value dearly. If anyone has offering to give, God calling you to do that, there's a box in the back. There's a black box in the stand. Just slide it in there. Remember, choir practice day after service. Let's see, there was a couple other things. Oh, sign up for the potluck, Easter potluck. Sign up for a dish you'd like to bring. And Saturday, make sure you're here for the Bless the Block event. And then the following Wednesday, Carnival. A lot happening. All right, God bless you all. Thanks for being here.